My message in 26, you could take it or leave it. Don't vote. Don't vote. Do not vote in the midterms. The Republicans have to lose. They have to lose. They have
to. Where is this audio coming from? Hold on one second.
To crash and burn. A cleansing fire is the only thing that will save us. It cannot be fixed. Fuck them. Fuck Trump. Fuck MAGA. Fuck all this stuff. It can't be fixed. If it could have been fixed, it would have been fixed in 2025, but it wasn't. They made every mistake. Liberation Day, disaster. Doge, disaster. Big Beautiful Bill, disaster. Epstein Files, disaster. Iran, disaster. The personnel, Mike Waltz, disaster. Ratcliffe, disaster. Rubio, disaster. Pam Bondi, disaster. All self-inflicted. Trump personnel, Trump policy, Trump strategy, Trump playbook. We tried it your way. It didn't work. Fuck you. Now we don't vote. That's the message. Seriously. Can't blame anybody else. Bad advice. Bad advisors. Biden's economy. Enough already. It didn't work. We're not voting. I'm staying home. And you know what? I hope the Democrats impeach him. I hope the Democrats impeach all of them. I hope they indict everybody. I hope they depose and compel the release of documents. And I hope they find all the criminal behavior. And I hope it destroys the GOP. I hope it creates a crisis for the GOP so severe that they never recover. And then I hope we get a fucking Nazi to run in 28. And I mean that metaphorically. I don't mean that literally. I hope we get a fucking fascist to run in 28 to burn the GOP down as a dark horse and win the presidency as a right-wing radical. That is my hope. That is my playbook. That's what I want. I don't trust them anymore. They say we just got to vote for
Fuentes is literally the right-wing Hassan? Not at all. I'm trying to how triggered am I feeling today? So the MAGA coalition will fall apart, or it's already fallen apart. I don't know if he supported Trump for president initially though, but remember Fuentes has his own political movement. He has the freedom to explore kind of ideas that he thinks are important and the freedom to try to build on or to try to rebuild, I guess. I think he's still in that phase of the political momentum that he had to get like a political movement to try to get ideally some people elected to have a PAC or something. Everything he's doing politically, like this navigation makes sense. But remember, like these people are politics minded. Hassan is not politics minded. So everything he's doing here, right, you everybody can see the blood in the water from the MAGA movement kind of like bleeding pretty hardcore. Once Trump is gone, shit's going to be fucked. Like, I'm saying this for a couple years now, right?
Vance, no, shut up. I'm not listening to you. The same people that brought you this garbage now want to sell you Vance. Uh-uh, I'm not listening. You fucking people told...
He flip-flopped a bit in the build-up to the election. He supported Trump 1 week and hated him the next. Well, I think because Trump... I know one pain point was Israel. I don't know if Nick harped on the H-1B shit or not. I don't remember. But, I mean, if you're a Trump supporter and you're like a neo-Nazi or you're a neo-Nazi adjacent, Trump's not really ever doing you the favors that you want to be done. Remember, Trump's entire political ideology is abstracted, unfortunately, from his psychology, which is just like him being insanely egotistical, narcissistic or whatever. Like, that's it.
Told me that Trump was going to deliver a golden age and mass deportations and $2 trillion in cuts and charter cities and all this crap. You lied. It didn't happen. Now you're selling us on Vance? I don't think so. I'm not even listening anymore. I'm not voting. And they could say whatever they want. Say whatever you want. Try and squirm and struggle and flail around. I am not listening anymore. I am not voting. I am not reasonable anymore. We all played that for the last how many cycles? Were we the reasonable ones? Hold your nose and vote. Lesser of two evils. We can't let the Democrats win. Okay, well, we let the Republicans win. Look at what that has profited us. I know it's profited Israel. I know it's profited Silicon Valley and Wall Street and the rich. What good is that doing us? What good is that doing any of us?
Do you think this will actually impact the Republicans at all? How much influence does Nick have? Still not much, I wouldn't say. I don't think that this necessarily... impacts the Republicans. This is more responsive to the negative impact that Republicans are having. Remember, regardless of what people say, there's going to be a huge power vacuum once Trump is gone. And there are like people who know this and who want to position themselves to try to absorb all of that empty space afterwards. And Nick would obviously like to be that for sure. But I don't know in terms of like having like politicians, like lawmakers elected and everything. I'm not sure.
They live in cities like Chicago or New York or LA or even the red states for that matter. It's not doing us any good. Ken Griffin, Trump's boy, is down there in Miami, back in the Democrat mayor over there. I'm out. You lost me. I voted for Trump in 16 because Trump was an outsider, because Trump was a disruptor. Trump was going to destroy the establishments of both parties. That's not what he is anymore. And that's not what Vance is either, by a long shot. We need something else. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care who it is.
Would you say that Nick separating himself from the Republicans will drag them further right? I don't think we're not like in a left-right paradigm anymore. Not with the current MAGA movement. These guys are not MAGA is not like. I don't know where MAGA is, or maybe could you argue they're like third position? Like, it's just hard because they have no consistent policy platform. Like Trump could come out tomorrow and say, how many gun manufacturers are European? Like Glock is that's an Austrian company, right? H&K, like all these other HK. I don't know how you say this. Or like Sig Sauer, are these American companies? Sig Sauer, what the fuck kind of name is that? That can't be American, right? Swiss. Oh yeah. Like I wonder if Trump could come out and talk about how Europeans are killing Americans with guns more than fentanyl people are, so we need to like ban guns, or we need to heavily restrict guns because so much of them come from European producers or manufacturers. I wonder if Trump could like get a gun ban that way. You know, like I'm just saying, I don't think the Republican Party has like any principled positions on fucking anything right now. So when you ask me, you know, like could he pull them further right from what? I don't even know where they're at. They're not even on the spectrum right now. Again, the tariff shit is just crazy weird. Like I don't know how you got them all to accept what's essentially like a shitty version of a value added tax, a national sales tax.
All options are on the table, other than voting for the GOP. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Is that not what we have been doing? Republican in 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26. At what point do you say, let's try something else? We tried it that way.
Name an American gun company? I feel like my shotgun, Browning. Isn't Browning? Or Winchester? Aren't they? I don't know. Are they? Remington? Colt? Smith & Wesson? Oh, Smith & Wesson. Is Hassan just a normal champagne socialist? I feel like your critique of him is more than that. But that's sort of the takeaway I've come from. I mean, a little bit, but it's Hassan just doesn't play. They're not playing the game of politics. The lefties don't play politics. They just wear the aesthetic of politics and they play social media games. That's it. Oh, I retweeted. This was a good ass tweet. This struggle against the left flank from center's working class politics has been ongoing for far longer than these last election cycles. RIP, Jesse Jackson. Does Hassan hate MLK? Wasn't MLK like kind of an Israeli or an Israel simp? Has Hassan ever talked about that before?
I don't give a fuck what black people care about. The Democratic Party literally is going to fucking lose, even if they don't lose, move the country to a significantly more right-wing position. Oh, black people care about this, black people care about that. Like, shut the fuck up. That's not how politics works. I hate that. I hate this, like, shield, okay? I hate this fucking idiotic shield, okay? Oh, well, Hassan, how dare you? Like it or not, black people care about this issue. It's like, it's such a fucking stupid stance, okay? I don't give a fuck what black people care about. The Democratic...
King.
And to all of you, and Congressman, I'll start with you, would and should the U.S. actually commit U.S. troops to defend Taiwan if China were to move?
You know... I think that this is such a, you know, I think that this is a,
today, Julia!
This is, of course, a very longstanding policy of the United States. And I think what we are hoping for is that we want to make sure that we never get to that point. And we want to make sure that we are moving in all of our economic research and our global positions to avoid any such confrontation and for that question to even arise.
I mean, I wonder if she was thrown off by the question, maybe, but what's the big deal about this?
Offer.
Hold on.
Offer.
And to all of you, and Congressman, I'll start with you, would and should the U.S. actually commit U.S. troops to defend Taiwan if China were to move?
What are you even supposed to say to that? You can't say yes because I don't even know how if we recognize Taiwan. Don't we have that weird like ambiguity when it comes to Taiwan? And you can't say no because you don't want to signal that if China invades Taiwan, we'd let it go. Hold the same position we always had? Do we have a clear position on Taiwan? I don't think... Does the United States have a super clear position on Taiwan? I like AOC, but that should have been a fucking easy yes. Is it? I thought... Isn't like... we recognize one China, we don't explicitly say which Chinese government? Yeah, something like that. Okay. I'm not sure. I don't know what the U.S. position is related to that or what... I think Biden committed troops on the ground for Taiwan. That was a pretty clear stance. Oh, okay.
You know, I think that this is such a, you know, I think that This is a...
I'm surprised she wasn't ready for this question, though, I guess, if she's, like, at an international conference and foreign policy is being discussed, right?
Today, Junior!
This is, of course, a very longstanding...
People saying that she looks weak or unqualified and it lowers her stock for running for president? Every single person saying that is either racist or sexist. I'm sorry, but Donald Trump proved that you can have Down syndrome and be elected president of the United States of America. The reality is Americans as a whole are not even qualified to evaluate the intelligence of a political candidate when they've elected Donald Trump twice. Or, depending on if you ask half of them, three times, because they think they won in 2020. So that's a non-factor. I wouldn't even remotely consider. AOC could literally have a fucking stroke and be in an ER and could pass any test on any domestic foreign policy IQ or whatever compared to Trump. Donald Trump literally is out here bragging about passing three cognitive tests to prove that he has good mental faculty in a month. And he's like, I passed three of them. I must be super. It's like, bro, why are you even getting these? Just stop. I wonder what Biden did say about Taiwan. Biden, Taiwan, United States.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
King!
That's the commitment we made. We support the One China policy. We support all that we've done in the past. But that does not mean, that China has the ability, has the jurisdiction to go in and use force to take over Taiwan. So we stand firmly with Japan and with other nations that, not to let that happen. And my expectation is it will not happen. It will not be attempted. And my expectation is a lot of it depends upon just how strongly the world makes clear that that kind of action is going to result in long-term disapprobation by the rest of the community.
True! We don't say, yes, we'll defend Taiwan so that we have to defend Taiwan. We say, yes, we'll defend Taiwan so that we don't have to defend Taiwan. Right? Does that make sense? What a king. Couldn't AOC... Yeah, I'm curious why AOC didn't give a stronger answer than that. I'm not sure. Destiny, he walked back on this. I think I might be wrong, but one of the times in his admin, he walked back on his rhetoric for Taiwan. They had a pretty neutral position. I might be wrong in the specific case, though. It was definitely around the time when his defense secretary was going to China to talk to Xi. Oh, did he walk back on this? Oh, that's called strategic ambiguity? No, shut the fuck up. Strategic ambiguity is when you don't publicly, I think, acknowledge certain things, but in terms of like military stuff, but you would never want to have ambiguity. I can't give a specific definition of strategic ambiguity. Maybe your capabilities or whatever, but you would never want to have like diplomatic ambiguity, or you don't want to have ambiguity for as to what you're responsible for a thing because you want that to be known, because you want other players to be making action. Well, assuming we want a peaceful world, I'm sorry, with the assumption that we don't want every country going to war all the time, we don't want to have ambiguity as to whether or not we would defend a country or not. We want that to be known so that if somebody is attacking, then we know exactly what we're committed to. Like, if somebody's going to break into my house, I don't want it to be ambiguous whether or not I have a firearm. Ideally, I would want it to be known that I do have a firearm so that if you break in, I could shoot and kill you very easily because I know that you know that I have one. So you're going to die if you come in here, or you run away because you don't want to, you know, get into a firefight. Generally speaking, I mean, there's probably going to be exceptions. It probably just depends on a lot of things. I don't know. Never mind. I wouldn't make any hard rules there. Shut the fuck up. Ban that guy. ICE arrests people with no criminal convictions or charges have increased significantly under Trump's administration. Time reports. He previously said he would deport the worst of the worst criminals. They're brown, so. ICE arrested people with no criminal convictions. 60,000 people. Damn. Only 29,940,000 ago, although some have self-deported, so. Nick is just a right-wing Hassan. You pretending that he is somehow beneficial to the right is a very bad take. What? How did I say Nick is beneficial to the right? I don't know if I say anything in terms of benefits or it just depends on your perspective of what you're looking to benefit or not. The reason why I say Nick and Hassan aren't anywhere similar to each other is because Hassan doesn't do politics, but Nick is like interested in political power. Hassan just wants to be like an influencer, like a YouTuber. Statement from Gnome, R scoop from earlier. Trisha McLaughlin has served with exceptional dedication, tenacity, and professionalism as Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security. She's leaving. What happened with her? One of the Trump administration's most vocal defenders of its aggressive immigration crackdown is leaving as opinion, as public opinion, sours against the hardline approach. I wonder why these people leave. Like, you could say they're throwing somebody under the bus, but throwing them under the bus for who? Like, my guess is 85% of Americans don't even know who this person is. Like, are they really saving face, or is anybody caring or having opinions changed as a result of any of this? Destiny, is it necessarily bad to have political commentators that don't want to be engaged in actual politics? Yes, it is bad. Now, when I say actual politics, I don't mean they're running for office or they're like directly affiliated with a candidate. I mean, they're trying to get political power. Politics is about getting political power in your political system, right? Or influencing political power in your political system. So in a democracy, You want to be able to exert influence over lawmakers, over the president, over cabinet level officials, over executive agencies. Like, this is like politics, it's political power. And so somebody like Fuentes ideally would have a Griper caucus in the House or the Senate. The House would be amazing for Nick. That would be like his ideal. For somebody like Hassan doesn't care about politics per se. He just like talks about it and then makes money off of it. But he doesn't care to actually influence any of it or to try to get anybody elected. He doesn't want to wield any political power. He just kind of wants to talk about stuff all day. Now, in and of itself, that wouldn't be a bad thing. But the issue is that these things, to a lot of people, seem to overlap or they're hard to distinguish from one another. So then you end up in a world where people on the left look to Hassan as like, well, is this guy speaking for Democrats? And then people on the right can use Hassan as like an attack vector. But the annoying thing is that he's not playing the same game that conservatives or even center-left liberals are, because he doesn't care at the end of the day if any of his people get elected or if he's able to influence any policy or not. He just wants to talk about it. That's it. And the confusion of those two things are very detrimental, I think, to our side. Rumors are circulating about Jeffrey Epstein's DNA being in the COVID shots. Uh-oh. Which ones? All of them? A Stryker bill will be heard in the Arizona Senate tomorrow that would require county election officials to enter into an agreement with ICE allowing them to enter vote centers and polling places. That's spooky. Is this expected to die, or wouldn't Hassan's ideal be a Congress full of Mamdanis? No. Again, you've got a guy who is from a 9-figure net worth family who individually is worth 8 figures, who does nothing to advance his political beliefs. You can't say that a person like that is practicing politics. He doesn't do anything to build up or support contentious elections or to help political figures that could build his movement or to support local races or to get people doing anything on the ground or anything. He doesn't mobilize his audience or anything. He just talks about stuff, makes money, and then flies around the world collecting like clout and influence or whatever. But only for more social media stuff, not for political power stuff. Early voting just opened today for the Senate Texas primary. It's an interesting race. Crockett versus Tallarico. A lot of people are mad that Crockett is in this, right? Because they say that she can't really win.
Now, here's the thing. I don't usually say this to a guest, but if people are watching this right now, it's because they found us online on YouTube. I did an act of the show that's on tonight explaining why. It's not the first time you've caused some drama. FCC opening probe into The View after appearance by Tallarico. Do you mean to cause trouble?
I think that Donald Trump is worried that we're about to flip Texas.
Okay. Wait. This is the interview Donald Trump didn't want you to see. His FCC refused to air my interview with Stephen Colbert. Wait, why do they block? I saw something. I saw like threads on this. Why, do you think Crockett will be able to flip Texas? I haven't looked into any of the Texas races at all, so I have no idea. CBS retards did it, but they only did it after Trump admins threatened them, basically. Based, okay. Dude, Cenk is obsessed with Israel. And Hassan, too. It's the Turkish mind virus is taking over. They're like Manchurian candidates. They must get, like, the message from Istanbul. They get the call, like, it's time, activate. For 2 years. Since they came in last, they'll be calling the Olympics anti-Semitic any second now. Why did Swiss take down perfectly accurate broadcast? Why did Swiss take down perfectly accurate broadcast? Announcer was talking about how the rules were applied to the Russians and French, but not Israelis. Why are you not allowed to say that? Commenter Stefan Renna on Swiss public broadcaster RTS sparked controversy during Israeli captain AJ Edelman's second bobsled run at the 2026 Winter Olympics in Milan Cortina, bringing up Edelman's past social media posts supporting Israel's genocide in Gaza, including one calling it the most morally just war in history. He compared the situation to the IOC's restrictions on Russian and Belarusian athletes and asked why similar neutrality standards were not being applied to Israel. Israel's bobsleigh team, Shul Runnings, finished 26th out of 26 sleds, recording the slowest start and finish times in both heats, according to official results. Despite the ranking, pilot AJ Edelman stated, "We are victors, not victims." Edelman holds dual Israeli and U.S. citizenship. Ooh, the dualie. Why would you even include this at the end here? Ooh, you Jews better be careful. They're coming for you. They're coming for you. Not a dualie. God, he's such a fucking...
Have you ever heard of a drug lord named Juan Orlando Hernandez?
Uh-oh.
It's a wild story. Because it used to be the president of Honduras.
Uh-oh.
But a couple years ago, a federal judge here in the United States sentenced him to 45 years for conspiring to traffic hundreds of tons of cocaine into the United States. He had taken millions from the Sinaloa cartel and used the Honduran army and police to help them run drugs to America. And then Donald Trump pardoned him. Donald Trump pardoned a man who helped the cartels make billions of dollars trafficking vast amounts of cocaine into the United States. Donald Trump freed him because he was Donald Trump's political ally. And because this guy sent a four-page letter to Trump saying he was a better president than Biden. But then they will tell you with a straight face that the raid in Venezuela was about drugs. See, Maduro should have just sent Trump a check. Or sponsored the ballroom. By the way, Maduro's successor in Venezuela seems to have directed $500,000 to Trump's inauguration. Someone should probably look into that. The fact is, it pays to be friends with the president. It pays to kiss this president's ass.
I've seen a little bit of Ossoff
stuff.
My super vibe take without digging much into it is I feel like this guy would be a better candidate than Newsom for like a national level election, especially being a senator from Georgia. Oof. Ooh, he might go sailing through the primaries. Maybe. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe black people hate him for some reason. I'm not sure. Oh, he's Jewish? Oh. Well, but his last name's Ossoff, you know? Yeah. Doesn't sound super Jewish. You know what? If we ever wanted like a non-Protestant whatever fucking president, if we wanted to break that mold, was Biden Catholic? I think we had one Catholic president. I don't remember which one it was. Didn't we have one other recent president that was like a weird... Biden was Catholic. Oh, okay. JFK. If we wanted to have like a new guy now would be the time to do it. So if you want like a black trans woman, or if you want like a Jew or like an Asian Mexican, like now would be the time to throw them in, because I feel like the Democrats should have a pretty big lead going into the 2028 election. Mongler's debate with Hassan will likely disappoint. If anything, it could work to Hassan's advantage. The problem is, yeah, I don't know how this will work. The issue is that when Hassan is in front of liberals or progressives and he knows he's got that audience, he mega ultra cucks out on all of his positions, and the only way to really get him on things is like, you said this thing, do you stand by it? Hassan is a shameless fucking snake, so who knows. We'll see.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you going?
Yeah, we are the award dudes. Thanks for having us on.
You're welcome, always.
So today we have on Andy, who is going to share his screen, and then we will begin.
Okay. Just one second.
Do we need to take notes? Is there a quiz?
Yeah. There's a test at the end of this.
Yeah.
We'll do our best. Okay. We can see it.
All right. Great. So my name is Josh, for those of you who don't know. I'm a coordinator with Digital Ground Game, and I lead the DGG Action Award. What Digital Ground Game is we're an organization, and our core idea is to connect digital politics to real world. So basically, we're taking Destiny viewers and we're getting them off the couch and to do real world political activism. So the Action Award is a monthly way for us to recognize someone who has done this. Winners receive a pinned Reddit post, a Discord shout out, featured article in the Pragmatic Papers, and they get to come on stream and they get this wonderful certificate that we have as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, so for people in chat, how is Digital Ground Game related to DGG poll?
It's the same thing.
The exact same thing. Why is one called
exact same thing
DGG poll and the other called Digital Ground Game?
We're not DGG poll anymore. We're now Digital Ground Game. DGG poll is sort of, you know, our internal Destiny audience. I mean, if you think about it, Digital Ground Game is already DGG, right? We're already signaling.
Okay, acceptable answer. Part of. Go ahead.
So this month's winner is Andy, who lives in Minneapolis, very close to where Renee Good was shot. After the shooting, he decided to start taking photos of the protests. So he went from being a student who just takes photos of birds to someone who's documenting what will be probably one of the most significant protest movements of our time. You know, Alex Preddy was shot while holding a camera. Systems like what Trump is doing, they fear documentation and images. When you think of big movements in history, you think of the photos. You think of, you know, less so abstract concepts and ideas. People think of the photos. Photos capture emotion and they humanize struggle. and they change minds in ways words cannot. So we have a short video that we've had prepared that we'd like to play. But one thing about Andy's work specifically and why we picked it is it doesn't just show conflict, it shows unity, and it shows how communities, you know, specifically Minneapolis, they can come together in moments of crisis, and that all of us are able to act, right? All of you, 10,000 people watching, you're able to actually do something and make a difference. So we have our media team prepared a video. So let me know if you can hear the audio.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business.
We've got here is failure to communicate.
We are America, second to none, and we own the finish line.
She was basically my neighbor, and she was killed by these people.
What kind of American are you?
That was falling by the way, Lord.
If we can't discriminate between serious arguments and propaganda, then we have problems.
But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite.
Radical left political violence has hurt too many innocent people and taken too many lives.
Elections matter, voting matters, organizing matters, being informed on the issues matter. And what I consistently say to young people, I say it in the United States, but I'll say it here in Germany and across Europe, do not take for granted our systems of government and our way of life. I think there is a tendency, because we have lived in an era that has been largely stable and peaceful, at least in advanced countries, where living standards have generally gone up, there is a tendency, I think, to assume that that's always the case. And it's not. Democracy is hard work.
So, you know, this is just something our award team made, our media team made about this. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Andy, who lived through the Minneapolis protests, took some very compelling photos, and, you know, hopefully you two can talk a little bit about the protests and, you know, what really happened. So,
okay.
If it will let me go to the next slide.
Yep. So, hi, yeah, I'm Andy, and I guess where this all started was with Renee Good. So, I mean, I remember hearing on the news that Renee Good was murdered, essentially, and I remember looking at my phone, reading the article to see where exactly it happened, and I remember, like, reading the cross streets and realizing, wait, I know exactly where that is, and it was just, like, an absolutely, like, crazy realization that this would happen so close to me. And so later that night, I went to the location where she was shot to see what was happening, and I took this picture. Now, this is just a picture with my phone. I didn't even think to bring my camera at this point. But after seeing all these, like, I mean, you can see here, there's, like, thousands of people out. And after just seeing all these people come out, you know, just like that, with, like, no notice, people were just ready to come out and show their support. It made me feel motivated to, like, to do something myself. I felt so angry, like, after seeing this and the reactions where they're lying about, oh, this is, like, some domestic terrorist person and that they're, like, killing all these people. It made me fucking angry. And it was like, if they're going to kill somebody who's essentially my neighbor, you know, who's to say they're not going to come after people who are much closer to me next?
Have you, just curious, before going out to photograph the stuff, have you done any kind of like local protesting or anything before? Or is this the first time you went out and kind of captured an event like this?
I mean, I'd gone to like, I used to live in Chicago and there was some protests there, but they were pretty, I mean, you'll see these with some of these photos. The previous protests I've been to have been pretty chill, just like the marches where people are just like chilling and whatever. Mm-hmm. But you'll see there's much more contentious and like crazy protests that happened here in Minnesota. So you'll see some of that. But yeah, so the very next day I decided to go back to the exact spot, but this time with my camera. And this is one of the pictures I took. I really like this photo because you can just see like on the faces of everyone there. I mean, they look like clearly like fucked up over all this. And it's like exactly how I felt in the moment. Like it's like hard to really put into words. Like, you don't realize how fucked up this is until you go to the exact spot where it happened. And you're like standing on the exact ground where Renee Good spent her last moments. And you can just see it on everybody's faces that they're feeling like exactly what I was feeling. Like, it's really fucked up. Our government would do this to an American citizen. So what you're seeing here is they're actually all looking towards the right where the memorial for her is. That's what you're seeing here. Kind of a silver lining to this was seeing how people came together to support each other. So these are just people handing out free food, free drinks. And I think really importantly, the based Somali Americans showed up in Minneapolis. There were tons of them. They were like handing out like Somali food and Somali drinks. It was really nice. And like the fact that like Trump and all the lies they're spreading about the Somalis, it's like they want me to hate these people who are like handing out free food to me, but they want me to love and thank the people who are killing my neighbors. And like, they're just like the psychosis that is, you know, in this administration is pretty wild. But no, it was great to see everybody supporting each other in this really tragic moment in the community. So like a few days after, was a pretty big protest. I think the estimate was like 10,000 people or something that occurred in like the general vicinity of where Renee Good was murdered. This is what you're seeing here. I thought the really nice thing was like everyone was laser focused on like the ICE shit and not getting distracted by other like adjacent issues. I feel like a lot of protests, a lot of times there's like people there for like Palestine or like whatever other random thing. But here, like everyone was like completely focused on ICE and had that singular message, which was really nice to see. This is from the same protest. I just like this picture because it's three young men together showing their support for America. And I mean, I just know that this picture is probably like MAGA would not like this picture, because here's the thing, like in Minneapolis, like people don't care about like the crazy racial divides. This is stuff that they're trying to push on us. Like nobody is going around Minneapolis thinking like, oh, the Somalis are destroying our city, all the black people are destroying this city, all the Latinos are destroying, like nobody is thinking this way in Minneapolis, and yet they want to impose this stuff on us. I just think it was a really nice picture to just see friendship between three young men. You can go to the next one. This is a few days later. Basically, when things started to get more contentious, or how things started to get more contentious, is basically every single day there was like hundreds of people who would show up to the WIPO building. And the WIPO building is like this federal government building where ICE was operating out of in Minneapolis. It's kind of like their headquarters in Minneapolis.
What is the, so, can you explain, because I've heard this brought up before, what exactly is the WIPO building? When you say federal building, does it do anything, or does it normally house like a certain thing, or what?
It usually just has like a bunch of different federal agencies work from there. So like the VA works from there. Like it's not just ICE, but ICE does like work from there.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so there was always like tons of ICE vehicles entering and leaving there that would cause people to start like screaming and throwing things and whatever. What the protesters would do was kind of try to block the street into the WIPO building. And so what you're seeing here is them trying to push him back. And so you can see all these guys with their weapons. The guy with the yellow mask is actually Greg Bovino. you can see how short he is, little guy. But yeah. Yeah, this is a picture of them throwing flashbangs at people. They loved the tear gas. They loved the flashbangs. Sometimes when people weren't even doing anything, they'd just be standing there and they'd start rushing through and arresting people and throwing flashbangs and tear gas and beating the shit out of people. And you can see in this picture, like, people are just standing there, like, they're not doing anything. And they're still getting flashbanged.
During the, I guess, like, when ICE was there doing crowd control?
Just, like, randomly in the, just around the neighborhoods as they're, like, arresting people and stuff.
One thing I guess I'm kind of curious about, I don't know if you necessarily know this or not, but, like, you see videos of doing, like, the massive crowd control. It's, like, one of the hardest things, or maybe not one of the hardest. Well, it's a very difficult thing for cops to do, and you have to bring in, like, specially trained cops to do it. It's kind of crazy that ICE, that barely has any training to do any kind of law enforcement stuff, is also, like, doubling as massive crowd control people. And I'm curious, like, if they seem hectic or, like, if they're just, like, I don't know. I just can't imagine being somebody who is in the position now, if you're an ICE agent or you're an ICE officer and you're trying to do crowd control of huge crowds and you don't have even, like, basic law enforcement training and you're doing some of the most complicated police work. It's like,
yeah. You know. Yeah, I mean, like, especially at the Whipple Building where there's, like, hundreds of people who can get very rowdy. They basically had to do crowd control, which they're not trained to do. They're all fucking incompetent. Mm-hmm. I remember there's one day where they were, like, rushing through the crowd to, like, arrest some people, and they ended up dropping, like actual ammo in the middle of the crowd, and then one of the protesters took the ammo for themselves. It was just fucking crazy. Yeah. So yeah, they have no fucking clue what they're doing. Yeah, so we had to blur this, but this is, like, an example of an injury that somebody got here. So this is from shrapnel from a flashbang, I believe. I mean, they're not supposed to be, like, lethal or injure you or anything, but if you're close enough to them, like, the shrapnel can, like, hit your different body parts and cause injuries. And so that's what happened here. And their knee was, like, all fucked up and bleeding everywhere, which is not fun. And here's them chasing after this guy with the blue helmet. I don't really know what he was doing. It kind of just seemed like he was standing there. But, yeah, they started chasing after him. And then if you go to the next picture, you see them trying to tackle him. One of them falls on their head.
Jesus Christ.
And yeah, this is the poor blue helmet guy getting arrested. I don't really know what he was doing, but, you know. Yeah, so this was, there was, like, a lot of, like, normal, regular people here. So this was a Navy veteran who was there almost every single time that I was there. And I remember talking to her. She was crying, and she was like, you know, I had been at home watching everything happen and was so, like, depressed and sad, just, like, doom scrolling and seeing all this crazy shit on the news. And she was telling me how she felt so much more hopeful being here, seeing all these people showing their support. And she was such a sweetheart. She was always just there with her little American flag. And she got caught up in, like, all the tear gas. And this, like, elderly veteran, like, she was getting tear gassed and shot at with, like, non-lethals and stuff. And she was just standing there. But yeah.
And sorry to interrupt. I just want to point out with this previous picture, one thing that I think is really crazy is how it's taking, like, four officers to tackle one guy.
Yeah. So on the 14th, this is after Renee Good, but before Alex Preddy, there was another shooting, but this one was, like, it wasn't a lethal one. Like, nobody died. It was this Venezuelan guy who was, like, shot in the leg. And so this is, like, a few hours after it happened. People had, like, heard about what happened and were starting to gather. And what you're seeing here is, like, this cloud of tear gas that is being illuminated by the, like, street lights that have turned red, or, like, the traffic lights have turned red. And so I really like it because it creates this, like, blood red, like, aura everywhere. And it felt like really captures the mood of this, because it was like, holy shit, this is actually a pattern. This isn't just going to end with Renee Good. Like, they're going to keep doing this. And so it was kind of almost foreshadowing what would happen with Alex Preddy. It just feels like really ominous and scary, this picture. So I like it a lot. So on the 23rd, so this is the day before Alex Preddy was murdered. There was, like, a really massive strike that was organized and, like, all throughout Minnesota, really. And there was, like, a major march in downtown Minneapolis as a part of the strike. And there was like 50,000 people who marched, which for a city the size of Minneapolis, like that is huge. Like I think the city itself has like 400 something thousand people. So having 50,000 people show up to anything in downtown Minneapolis is crazy. And then I think I saw like a poll that like a quarter of Minnesotans participated in the strike in some way, like not going to work, not shopping, not going to school, that type of thing. So it was really cool to see everyone like actually kind of sacrifice something and again, be united on this single message and these single demands of getting the ICE out of Minneapolis. So yeah, that was really cool. But then unfortunately, of course, the kind of like positive mood of this protest was interrupted the next day by Alex Pretty. So if we can go to that. Yeah, so this is like a few hours after Alex Pretty was murdered. And I mean,
wait,
it's
real
hard
quick,
to say, like,
people
how
appreciate sure. this all the time. What is the temperature in Minneapolis at this time?
Oh yeah, I even forgot to mention it was like negative 40 with wind chill, I think. Mm-hmm. And people were out there for like hours in like negative 40 degree weather. It was fucking crazy.
It gets fucking cold out here. Some people don't realize the when it's below like 5 degrees Fahrenheit, like on the actual without the wind chill, like when you're out there and the weather is that cold, like if you inhale, everything in your nose instantly freezes.
Yeah.
And you can't breathe when the wind is blowing in your face. Yeah. Like you have to turn around or you've got to like put your hand over your nose. You just can't do it. You can't get your breath. It's crazy how cold it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Minnesotans were built for the cold. So this is the very next day. Alex Pretty is murdered. It's hard to say how close this is to me without completely doxing myself. But this was like extremely close to me, and which made it like very crazy, very scary. And I mean, I just had to go out there to see for myself what was happening. So this is like a few hours later, after he was murdered, and you're looking at exactly the spot where it happened. That's why there's all of these police and armored vehicles and shit, all these protesters. This guy got taken away on a stretcher. I don't know really what happened to him, but he was kind of like behind the police lines, and he got taken away for some reason. I don't know what happened to him, but and then after they took that guy away, they started tear gassing everyone. I don't know why again, but they just started throwing their tear gas. You can see everyone's freaking out, trying to get away.
Real quick, was there any violence from the protesters at all, and were you tear gassed?
No. I don't think there was. I mean, people were screaming, people were getting up in their faces. I didn't see them like try to throw anything or like attack anybody. I didn't see that. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, it was kind of funny on the picture that you had of the flash grenade. I feel like there were two or three people that you could clearly see lit up that were like in pajama pants. It was kind of goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is like called the tear gas engulfing this like apartment building. It just looked like a fucking war zone out here. The first floor of this building is actually a grocery store, and it was actually really nice. They like... the grocery store allowed people who were getting like fucked by the tear gas to like come in for like shelter and stuff, which was kind of nice of them. This person, we had to blur out a bunch of this stuff, so you can't really see in full detail what's happening here. But this person, okay, he started like running away from the police, like screaming, and then like collapsed on the ground, and it looked like their hand got like their hand was really bloody and like, I don't really know what happened. You can see like kind of in the ice and like snow and stuff, it's like red from all the blood. So very, very chaotic. Again, I didn't see any violence from any of these people. And so this is, after they were finished tear gassing everybody, the police decide to leave, and then the protesters basically took over the street. And so you can see them all gathered here. Again, like notice like the complete unanimity in like the messages here. Like all the signs are about like ICE, fuck MAGA. I like this one in the bottom left, same shit, different hat. Awesome. ICE out, killer ICE off our street. Like everyone is just here about ICE. There's nobody getting distracted by extra shit. Which, if we go to the next picture, I know this one is just for you, Destiny. This picture is just for you.
My boy.
Go to the next one. Yeah, woo! There we go. I kid you not. I was standing there listening to him as he was you know, talking and streaming and stuff. The entire time I was listening to him, he was talking about like Israel and Palestine and how the Democrats, whatever, are like horrible. As he's like standing on the exact place where like Alex Pretty was just murdered hours ago. Like, I think the two pictures you see, like of Hassan and then the previous one, I think are like perfect contrast between the people who took this seriously, you know, the protesters who are there all just there for ICE, and Hassan and people like him who try to make it about, you know, other bullshit. I thought it was just like really beautiful contrast. The good thing is that almost all the people at these protests were very, very, very focused, which was nice. Yeah, next one. And so this is another picture I took. This is like a few days later after he was murdered, the like memorial that people set up with all the flowers and candles and notes and stuff. I just thought it was very beautiful. Seeing all the people, like, I mean, there are people who came in from like all sorts of different states. There's somebody who came in from like Wyoming. I have never even met somebody from Wyoming until that day. So it was just cool seeing people from all over the country show their support for the good people of Minneapolis. So I think this is my last picture, actually. Oh, right, no, there's one more. Yeah, so this was like the kind of last really, really big protest in downtown Minneapolis. Again, it was like tens of thousands of people showed up. I just love how all of the signs are just about ICE. You can see lots of American flags, very based, lots of Minnesotan flags. And yeah, just that that unity, that that like support from the whole community, I think is really good. And I think I have a little bit of a message for the people of DGG, because I think it's like really timely that we're talking about this just like a few days after they announced that Operation Metro Surge is going to be ending. Mm-hmm. I think the people of Minnesota like really showed like that you can kind of make Trump your bitch. Like, people did things that they had never done before, right? There's all these videos of protesters being like, I had never done any of this shit before. This is like the first time I'm doing this, and I just decided to go out. You know, you have the ICE watch people who are going around observing ICE. You know, Alex Pretty was one of those people, as well as Renee Good. And like with that like singular message and people doing more than what they had been previously doing and being laser focused and with clear demands and stuff, you can actually get like the Trump administration to like run away, to like flee. You know, like this has been a whole fucking disaster for them. And it's because of how Minneapolis and how Minnesotans responded to this. But yeah, so that's kind of my whole thing. But yeah.
Cool. Are you, I don't know what my follow-up is. I have no follow-ups. I don't even know. Do you, I guess, what do you do when you take a set of photos like this? Do you just like save them in your photo roll? Do you have like a portfolio, publish them online? Or are you going to do more, try to like capture more protests, I guess, on camera in the future? Or was it just like a one-off thing because it involved an area that was local to you?
I mean, honestly, with this whole experience, I have thought about like, if I want to do this, like for more things, even outside of Minneapolis, if there's going to be like a January 6th 2.0, you can bet I'm going to be there, Destiny. You can bet I'm going to be there.
Have you?
I'm not participating in the January 6th stuff.
Of course. have you shown these photos anywhere else before?
I mean, I have like an Instagram where I sometimes post things, like the DGG or the Digital Ground Game people have been using some of my photos.
I only bring that up because I think if you've like tagged onto local stuff on Instagram or wherever, sometimes news media will reach out to ask to use photos or whatever for stuff. The one ICE agent guy playing QWOP, I think, was like a funny photo, but okay, cool.
Yeah, and I just want to point out as well that with Digital Ground Game and, you know, the platform that we have here, is we've been able to actually use these photos, and you know, we have a whole media team, very, very talented people. At least the people who join our Discord server are very, very talented. discord.gg/dggpoll, and there's a lot of like really, really, to be honest, more than I'd expect from this group, like talented people.
What do you mean more than you'd expect from this group?
You know, like, I don't know. It's like a bunch of online people. But I think that's what we do, right? We've taken those online people and we've converted them into real action. And I mean, even just this platform, I know you mentioned like local news media, but I mean, this is being broadcasted to 8,000 people mm-hmm. right now. And, you know, I think even that is a fairly big thing. And in terms of the quality of these photos, I mean, I've been doing what no one should do and reading chat. And it seems like chat mainly, you know, likes these photos. I've shown these photos to quite a few people who I know, like, this is really doc. And also, I want to point out that Alex Preti was shot for taking photos and for having a camera. So it's very cliche, but what administrations, what groups like this fear most is really having what they do documented. And I think,
yeah, I agree with that. You know, saw the way that Kristi Noem was willing to lie blatantly about the events that had transpired with Renee Good and with Alex Preti. And if not for, well, really multiple angles to a video footage, you know, it's kind of silly, but even if you might think there's a lot of people out there recording stuff, sometimes it's like the second or third or fourth person recording. Like with the Alex Preti thing, that guy in the car, or I don't know if it was a girl, but whoever's in the car who recorded from that angle, that was a pretty important angle in my opinion. And I think that was one of the later ones to come out. By later, I mean like a day or two or three after. But that, like, I don't even know if Preti even touched that officer. And that third video looked a lot different versus people who were trying to claim from the first one, oh, he strong-armed him or he elbowed him. He was trying to push him aside. So yeah, every little bit helps for sure.
Yeah, it's also sort of the bystander effect to an extent, right? Like, you know, the reason why we have so many angles, I think, is because people were motivated to record it. People were motivated to document it and act. And I think what these photos highlight, and Andy, correct me if, you know, I'm misreading, but it's really everyone in Minneapolis. Like, this is a small city, right? Like, only, I want to say 550,000, certainly less than a million. And 50,000 people protesting is an insane amount in, you know, minus 40 degree weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, yeah.
So connecting to real-world activism, one thing we do at Digital Ground Game first is people watching, there are 8,000 people in the stream. There are 2,500 people roughly in the Digital Ground Game server. You know, those numbers don't really compute. Discord.gg/DGGpoll. But one thing we have is we do a call to action every week. And this week's is particularly important. So I'm going to send in a link, and if you could click on that link, that would be great.
Wait, me or?
You, yeah.
Hold on. In the chat and Discord? In this room?
Yeah. Oh, I can't send. If you could just go to digitalgroundgame.org.
Yep, okay.
So, do you see on the top where it says call to action?
Yep.
If you could click on that. And are you familiar with the SAVE Act?
Maybe. No, never mind. So I was thinking of FACE Act. Oh, I'm aware of this. This is the one that people were worried that women especially were going to be like removed from a bunch of voter rolls because of, I don't know if it's the way last names worked or something, but yeah, tell us about it. Go ahead. You know more than I do.
Yeah, so there's something that is, and part of, you know, I want everyone here to like follow the example and contact your senator. We're really pushing very hard to try to oppose this act. And, you know, anyone here, all you have to do is just follow the instructions listed on the website. It shows you how to find your senator. It shows you, you know, who they are, what the contact is. And we even wrote up email templates. But one important part of the SAVE Act that people kind of miss is how it connects to the GOP's larger, you know, ideas of like subverting the elections. And if you're interested and you click on the link on the top where it says SAVE Act, it'll hyperlink you to the text of the act. But there's two interesting parts of it that I think are really kind of insane. And it's that it criminalizes, basically, if a state election official fails to provide, register someone to vote and fails to provide documentation of that, that is now a criminal offense. Additionally, private citizens can now sue, if this were to be passed into law, state election officials for failing to provide documentation of citizenship for the people they're registering to vote.
Wait, can you read the first one again, the criminal thing? I see the private right of action thing. What was the first one? What was the...
It should be...
Or just the...
Yeah, criminal penalties there, under there.
Oh, it's just this under this. Okay.
Registering an applicant to vote in election federal office who fails to prevent, and notice how it says fails to present, right? So if you're, this basically opens up the door for the Trump administration and private politicians to start suing or prosecuting state election officials for, you know, I guess perceived voter fraud. And this opens us up to kind of a situation where, like, let's say Georgia, for example, goes all blue, right? There's nothing in theory stopping the, you know, opponents in these midterms from suing the people who they ran against in court under the SAVE Act for, you know, voter fraud and or for failing to provide documentation. Not, you know, it doesn't even say registering someone who's not a citizen. It says registering someone without documentation, right? So in theory, if they're a citizen, you can still be. And then also the government can now hold them criminally liable. Mm-hmm. So we're basically giving pretext for the Trump administration, who has said multiple times that they're not really interested in allowing the midterms. You know, they want to nationalize voting and, you know, there's rampant voter fraud. We're sort of giving them pretext to do, like, basically what he was doing when it comes to, like, the electoral scheme, January 6th, all that stuff, but now more officially passed by Congress and basically just tie up all these elections in courts. Like, the idea of private citizen can sue state election officials is kind of insane.
Yeah, especially because anybody can file a lawsuit for anything, or you can allege anything in a complaint, and if you have a private right of action, you can just state that as the reason on the complaint, and then every, yeah, that's kind of a crazy thing, for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why we think the most important thing that can be done right now is calling your senator, first, you know, discord.gg/DGGpoll, join our organization. But second is, you know, if you don't do that, call your senator or email them to oppose this bill, because it's like the floodgates would be completely opened if this were to pass. It's it's really bad. And I know there are a lot of people on the left who frame it as like, oh, actually, you know, Republicans are less likely to have ID and this would, you know, help us. But they're wrong. That's not the goal here. But the goal is to allow the government to control elections and to clamp down. So it's really, really, like, really important for midterms and basically the integrity of U.S. democracy to an extent to make sure this does not get passed.
Sure. Okay. I'll link the CTA in chat. Yeah.
And yeah, that's all we have. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for joining. People can always join the Discord if they want to get involved. I think that was linked in chat. You can link it again. And thanks a ton for joining us. Have fun. Be careful. Stay safe.
All right. Have a good one.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Question. Would this bill allow even Dems to sue if they lose elections? Well, the issue is that Democrats are trying to govern and Republicans don't want to govern. So it's like, imagine you're tasked with making a building and then Republicans are like, we're just going to give sledgehammers to everyone. And you're like, well, we get sledgehammers too, right? And it's like, yeah, but they like, it doesn't help us.